Children, you are going to witness Naomi, and she will come and she will give a sermon, this which is narrative style, meaning it will be a storytelling format. And for the reading, before Naomi comes, Natalie will come forward and read the passage.
Ruth 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live there for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Ruth 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout all Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than the seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, you are waiting for me. I'm so glad that you are here. And actually, you know what? Young man, can I have a stool for myself? You're a good-looking man, yeah. You know what? I'm not young as I used to be, so I think I need a little chair for myself. Thank you. Oh, you're all here to listen to my story. Wow, look at all those boys and girls. You are here to listen to my story too? You know what? If you pay attention to listen to my story, I'm sure you'll get special treat from your parents at home. Right, Mom and Dad? Yeah, that's great. You know what? I never really told my story to so many people. So I'm a little nervous about telling my story. But this is my story. Some of you may know that my name is Naomi, which means pleasant. I had a pleasant childhood with my family, even though it was a little transition of as a nation. After our ancestors came out of Egypt, I heard a million times how our God Yahweh took our ancestors from Egypt, how they went through the desert for 40 years, and how our Yahweh provided a land that we live right now as it promised. Some of our neighboring countries have a king who leads the nation, but in Israel, we don't have a king, but we have judges, the leaders appointed by our Yahweh. When there were good judges, we lived peacefully. But when they died, we are sometimes without church, and we lost good leadership to help us follow Yahweh. When we failed to obey Him, sometimes we faced hardship and even oppressions from other nations. When I was young, we have a good judge who led us to the right way. And I also have lots of pleasant memory of those days. Then, I got married to a man named Elimelech. I was so excited about my wedding and how our lives would be happy and pleasant, just as my name means. I was dreaming about my husband working in the field and me doing chores at home and raising our children. That was the plan I had and the story I was going to write for my life. But when I got married, we didn't have a strong judge leading us to the way of Yahweh. And many of us just followed whatever seems right for us. Then, boom. Things didn't turn out the way I dreamt and planned. Life got tougher. Yes, I was married to a wonderful, responsible husband. Our Yahweh blessed us with two boys, but there was a severe famine in the land. There was nothing in the fields for my husband to harvest, and very little for me to cook for the family. How ironic that I lived in a town called Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. But in the house of bread, there was no bread. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that our family, especially my boys, would starve. So my husband and I decided to move to Moab, our neighboring country. Was it the best choice? Should we have stayed in Israel and trusted the Lord would provide? We are so desperate. We needed to feed our boys. We planned to stay in Moab just for a while until things got better in Bethlehem. But you know how things go when you settle down. It's hard to move back again. It seemed that things were working fine in Moab. Elimelech, my husband, was able to work. The boys grew up, and we had a decent life. Well, of course, it wasn't completely easy life. We were immigrants and strangers living in a foreign land. But it was okay. Then, boom, things happened that I didn't expect. One day, my husband came home and was not feeling well. And then soon afterwards, he passed away. It seemed unreal, and there were times of deep grief. But you know, life had to keep going. It was a hard adjustment being in a foreign land, being without a husband. But at least I had two grown-up sons with me. Then, both of them got married to Moabite women. My son found girls in Moab and married them. And they were wonderful girls who were very loving, generous, diligent, and hardworking. My son was happy in their marriages, and it seemed like life was going well. It was a pleasant life. Then, boom, again, I had to face the despair of my life, a suffering that most mom cannot bear. Oh, my beloved sons, my Malone and Killian, how could it be possible that not just one, but both of them died? Can you imagine that? I didn't see that coming. I could have never expected that could happen. But that's what happened to me. I lost my husband and my two sons in a foreign land. How desperate and miserable I became. I could hardly breathe because I couldn't take the pain in my heart anymore. My tears became my food until there was no tears. At first, I cried out to my Yahweh and asked why these things happened to me. Did Yahweh take away my husband and sons because we didn't follow his ways? Because we moved to Moab? Or because my sons married Moabite girls? I was so angry at Yahweh, who took my pleasant life and gave me suffering and hardships instead. And I felt guilt and shame thinking, this calamity came upon my family because of me. I cried out to Yahweh until I had no more voice to speak. It was the darkest time of my life. Then I heard that the famine was gone in Bethlehem. I realized that there was no reason to stay in Moab. And I really, really missed my hometown too, the place where I was born and grew up. So I decided to go back, and I told my daughters-in-law about it. Their first response was that they wanted to come with me to Bethlehem. Oh, bless their hearts. But I couldn't let them do that. Of course, I'd love to have them with me. But because I love them, I knew what was best for them and their future. What could they do if they came to Bethlehem with me? I am weak. I can't support them. There was a little hope that they could marry there. They were widows and foreigners, and they could be mistreated. They could even be dangerous for them. No. There was no future for them in Bethlehem. And I knew that it would be better if they stayed here and back to their father's house. Indeed, Moab is their homeland. It was a very, very emotional conversation. And finally, Orpah decided to go back to her father's house. But Ruth, oh, my stubborn Ruth, she insists saying, "Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your Yahweh, my Yahweh. Where you die, I will die and be buried." Then I realized that she chose to follow me not only for my sake, but she decided to follow me because she chose to follow my Yahweh. I give in when I saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with me. So we traveled together to Bethlehem. When we got to Bethlehem, people didn't recognize me, not even my old neighbors and friends. I could understand that I had gotten older, and then my face reflected my pain and suffering. And I also was coming with Ruth, a foreigner. someone finally asked me, "Are you a Naomi? You are Naomi, aren't you?" Then sorrow and pain rushed back into my heart again. And I couldn't say my name was Naomi, meaning pleasant. I told them to call me Mara, meaning bitter. I felt that my life had been made so bitter by Yahweh, so painful and sorrowful by my Yahweh. I was blaming Yahweh for the things that happened to me. I spit out my anger and sorrow, saying, "The Almighty had made my life very bitter. I went away full, but Yahweh brought me back empty. Yahweh was afflicted me. The Almighty brought misfortune upon me." That's what I told to my friends and neighbors. I know. It's not Yahweh who caused my pain, suffering, and hardship. But maybe in my desperation, I was looking for someone to blame, someone to pour out my bitterness, anger, and hurt onto. I didn't see the coming that I lost my husband and both of my sons in a foreign land, and coming back to my hometown as a bitter and miserable person. Can you identify with me? Have you experienced what I did? I'm not saying facing a famine, moving to a foreign land, or even losing a husband and two sons like me. No. What I'm asking is, have you experienced the pain, suffering, and challenges of life that you didn't see coming? Maybe sudden and unexpected death of a loved one, an incurable illness, a broken marriage or relationship, or being single for the rest of your life, or longing for a child, or the way your children have turned out, or dealing with finances struggles, or being forced to leave your comfortable place, your homeland. You see, even when we try to live a good life and think that we are doing all the right things, we still face things that we don't see coming. That's part of living in a broken world. This world is a broken world. Now you might think, "Oh, I'm so depressed. When is she going to be done with her sad story? I wish I didn't come today." Are you thinking that way? Just wait. Now I want to share the rest of my story, which I didn't see coming either. The first thing I didn't see coming was that Ruth was coming to Bethlehem with me. I didn't expect her to follow me or to choose follow my Yahweh. Having Ruth with me was the most unexpected gift from my Yahweh. And second, we moved back during the barley harvest. I hadn't calculated the harvest timing. I wasn't thinking that while I was in Moab. But coming to harvest time means that we could get food from the fields to support ourselves. You see, there was something called gleaning in our culture. I don't know about your culture, but my culture, there is something called gleaning. It was Yahweh's idea to help the poor in our nation. God said in his law, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard or a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and aliens. You see, with the gleaning culture, anyone who needed food could go to any harvest field and pick up the fallen grains. So one morning, my lovely daughter-in-law Ruth decided to go out to glean some fallen grains from a field. I was worried a little bit because she was a foreigner, a widow, and people could see that. What if people would mean to her and treat her badly? So I prayed to Yahweh for his protection. When she went out to glean, she ended up in the field of a name, Boaz, a relative of my late husband, Elimelech. Of course, she had no clue that Boaz was our very close relative. So, what are the odds that she just happened to be working in his field? And what are the odds that Boaz just happened to come at that field to encourage his workers? And that he just happened to notice my Ruth? I knew that her coming to Bethlehem with me had been sensational news. I'm sure Boaz had heard about Ruth, how she had been good and loyal to me, how she had shown kindness to me and helped me. He probably also heard how she had chose to follow our Yahweh, not her gods. Later that day, Ruth told me how Boaz had been so kind to her. I think he especially was kind to foreigners, especially because he knew what it meant to live as a foreigner in Israel. You see, I'm not sure about you know about it, but you see, his mother, Rahab, was a foreigner who chose Yahweh and settled in Israel. Do you know Rahab? Have you heard about the Rahab? And Rahab was Boaz's mom. So he is familiar with someone who lived in foreign land. So he probably understood more than anyone how challenging it was for Ruth to be here as a foreigner. So he showed great kindness to her and made sure that she was protected by his men. He invited her to glean in his field until the harvest was done. What a coincidence that Ruth and Boaz met in his field. Was it just coincidence? Was it just by chance? When Ruth told me about Boaz, I couldn't stop thinking about what he meant. I felt a ray of light shining into our lives. I could feel the unexpected goodness of God coming into our lives. Boaz, that Boaz was our kinsman redeemer, our Goel, which of course Ruth had no clue about it. Probably you have no clue about what kinsman redeemer is. It's another our law that a close relative of a deceased man had a right and a duty to redeem the inheritance of the deceased relative and to marry his widows. So that means, as Elimelech's relative, Boaz, the Boaz that Ruth met in the field, he could redeem our land and also preserve the family name of my son by marrying Ruth. That was a huge deal, big deal. And after the harvest was done, I told Ruth to go to Boaz and remind him that he was our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. Well, what do you think that a woman could go just and propose to the guy? Well, that's kind of what Ruth did. She went to Boaz in the field and asked him to marry her. Well, not quite directly, but she was able to remind him that he was her goel, her kinsman, and she asked him to spread a corner of his garment over her. Indirectly, she was saying that he needs to get married to her and ask him and taking her as his wife. But there was a problem. There was another kinsman, another man more closely related than Boaz, and he deserved to give him priority. So Boaz approached him, but he declared that he was not interested in honoring the goel duty. So Boaz gladly redeemed my husband's land and married Ruth. I sure didn't see that coming. Who could be a better husband than Boaz, a worthy man of noble character, honored and respected in the community, and more than anything else, who could understand what it meant for Ruth living in Israel as a foreigner? What a joyous day it was when they got married. But that wasn't the end of my story. Oh no. My Yahweh blessed them and me with a beautiful baby boy. And all the women in town blessed me, saying, Ruth is better to you than seven sons. And they named the baby Obed. And I had the joy and privilege of raising him in my arms. You see, when I returned to Bethlehem, I didn't expect this blessing to come into my life. Just as I didn't expect the hardship, suffering, and challenges, so I also didn't expect Yahweh's restoration and redemption in my life either. I didn't know or understand that Yahweh was using my miserable and painful circumstances in ways that I couldn't begin to imagine. I couldn't see the hand of Yahweh at work. But even though I couldn't see it, he was faithfully working and orchestrating his goodness in my life. I didn't see calamity coming, nor did I see the redemption and restoration of my life through the faithfulness and kindness, the hesed of Yahweh. My Yahweh, he brought me from grief to joy, from emptiness to fullness, from being a stranger in a foreign land to a citizen in a promised land, from despair to hope, from a bitter life to a pleasant life. When we face the challenge of life, I pray that you don't spend too much time asking why, and staying in bitterness. But instead, we will wait expectantly for how our Yahweh is going to show his faithfulness and kindness to us. He is working in our lives, even when we don't see it, when we don't feel it, or when we don't recognize it. He is working in our lives, in the time of our mistakes, in the time of our shortcoming. He is working in our lives. He is working in our lives when we are going through the pain, suffering, and challenges. He is working in our lives. This is my whole story. This is my story, from my broken story to my redeemed story. And I hope that one day you can share your story about how Yahweh used your brokenness, your broken story, and brought about your redeemed and restored story. My Yahweh, the Lord bless you and keep you. My Yahweh, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. My Yahweh, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening to my story. And boys and girls, you did such a wonderful job. And make sure that your parents give a good treat to you, okay? See you later. Bye. Thank you for inviting me again. Thanks.